Tomorrow in Kansas City, the Houston Dynamo will face Sporting KC in Major League Soccer's Eastern Conference Finals, after which the West will be won by the LA Galaxy or visiting Real Salt Lake. The victorious sides will meet 2 weeks from today in Carson, California, to determine the 2011 MLS champion. Simon Cooper's new book, Soccer Men, includes David Beckham, Freddie Adu, and other MLS worthies, though the international game provides most of the stories therein. The subtitle of Soccer Men provides a fair sense of Mr. Cooper's take on his subjects. It is profiles of the rogues, geniuses, and neurotics who dominate the world's most popular sport. Simon Cooper joins me now from KQED in San Francisco. Simon, welcome back to Only a Game.
Thanks very much.
The book includes profiles and discussions of over 60 players, coaches, and people otherwise connected to soccer, and it's hard to know where to begin, but I'm going to start with my favorite sentence in the book, which is, quote, "He didn't really want to stab his teammate to death like Norman Bates in Psycho." The adjective neurotic would seem to be insufficient there.
Yeah, I mean, I was writing about Daniel Passarella, and he gets very angry as they're losing a game 4-0 with Inter Milan. And in the last minute, Inter get a penalty, so Altobelli, the striker, thinks, well, goal is a goal. So he takes the penalty, puts the ball down, and kicks it in, not noticing that Passarella's been storming up from defence, hoping to bash the penalty into the back of the net.
Mm-hmm.
A few minutes later, they're in the showers, they've lost 4-1, everyone's unhappy. And Passarella says, nobody else dares take a penalty when it's 0-0, but when it's 4-0, everyone dares take one. Altobelli realizes he's being provoked, so he gets angry and he says to Passarella, who's naked under the shower, soaping his hair, "You talking about me? You talking about me?" And Passarella punches him out. Boom. Altobelli's on the floor. Passarella goes on soaping his hair very calmly in the shower. Altobelli stands up. He grabs this fruit knife. There's a bowl of fruit in the dressing room. Grabs a fruit knife. Stands in front of the naked Passarella with his fruit knife. He has to take revenge, but he doesn't really want to stab him to death like Norman Bates in Psycho. So he lets himself be dragged away by teammates, pretending that he's unhappy.
You write of the sadness of the British soccer writers when Sven-Göran Eriksson was coaching England several years ago and David Beckham was the face of the team. You put it this way, one of them hardly says anything while the other has nothing to say. You're not exactly a fan of Beckham, are you?
I mean, I'm a great fan of Beckham, the right half. I mean, he was a very limited soccer player. He could do a couple of things. He had the best sort of mechanical right foot I've ever seen, where he swung that right foot and he put in the perfect cross. I mean, as Steven Gerrard said, when Beckham crosses the ball, it's easier to score than to miss because he drops it in just such a way that you sort of, it laser guides itself into the net. So he had this gift, but of course, and he's a man of great beauty, which is the other thing that's made him a global icon. But like Charlie Chaplin or Marilyn Monroe, he's best heard without a soundtrack because the guy in his whole life has never said an interesting sentence.
One of the most recent essays in the book profiles Billy Beane, who's the general manager of the Oakland Athletics, recently made even more famous because Brad Pitt played him in the movie Moneyball. How did a baseball guy make it into Soccer Men?
Billy Beane became a soccer obsessive. He went on holiday to London with his wife about 10 years ago. He's a guy who's constantly educating himself, constantly learning. He reads the newspapers. The only thing in the newspapers is soccer. You walk around town, outside every pub, there's signs saying, you know, Fulham Bolton, 12:45 kickoff, Manchester United Liverpool, 3 p.m. kickoff. So the whole country is soccer mad. And to me, the great sadness of Billy Beane's career or life is that he didn't go to university, got a football scholarship to Stanford. He turned it down to play baseball. I think he always regretted that part of him. And so he's constantly been educating himself all his life. And Moneyball is an outflow of that. He educates himself in statistics. He loved to learn. He took in these statisticians. He created this kind of own private university of Billy Beane. And in the last few years, he's done that with soccer. He's sort of embarked on a very fast learning curve of soccer. He loves the game. And so I felt he was very much a soccer man.
You contend that in soccer, and perhaps this is equally true of all professional sports, quote, "the rock star has been ousted by the corporate man." Did you have any particular player besides perhaps David Beckham in mind when you made that assertion?
Well, David Beckham is very much a corporate man. I mean, what I said in the book is that in the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, you had players like Diego Maradona and George Best, and it was about, like a rock star, you had this creative gift, it wasn't going to last very long, you lived the high life, you know, sex and drugs and rock and roll, and they had a good time. And then more money comes into the game, clubs gain discipline over their players, the manager becomes more powerful than the players, which never used to be the case, and players are forced to behave, players knuckle down because they want to have long, lucrative careers because now suddenly there's money in the game. And so now you get people like Kaká or David Beckham who are sort of good boys, very obedient, well-behaved, train hard, work hard, have long careers, and learn not to say anything. I mean, that's one thing I avoid in the book mostly, is long interviews with players because it's not a great experience for a journalist.
Well, I don't know whether to expect a Soccer Men 2 somewhere down the line, because in the introduction to this book, you've written, "I've increasingly given up chasing interviews with players. It isn't worth the humiliation." Is the process somehow more humiliating than it used to be?
Definitely. I mean, I was told by a journalist I know that at Ajax Amsterdam in the 70s, when they were the best team in the world, if you wanted to speak to one of the players, you walked into the canteen at lunchtime after training, you sat down next to the guy, no media officer, not really any other journalists around, and the guy would talk to you for hours. He might, you know, invite you home and continue chatting there. So the sort of the discipline, the corporation, if you like, that sprung up around those players and then the marketing of them has detached them from our lives. So you're never going to meet David Beckham in the street, whereas 25 years ago, you might meet soccer players just around.
Having spoken with and profiled so many of the most well-known and in some cases the most notorious of the players, do you count yourself now a fan of the game?
I've always loved soccer. I mean, very sadly, a few weeks ago, a doctor told me I had to stop playing and must never play again because I've just torn my ligaments for the third time. I mean, I do love it, but I think that once you sort of get behind the curtain and you see how the factory actually works and that everybody inside it regards it as a job, maybe a job they love, but a job, and the club is not something they love, it's just an employer. I think once you've seen it from that side, it's quite hard to capture the sort of fairy tale idea that I had as a child of this whole game.
Simon Cooper is the author of Soccer Men, Profiles of the Rogues, Geniuses, and Neurotics Who Dominate the World's Most Popular Sport. It's published by Nation Books, and the author joined me from KQED in San Francisco. Simon, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you.
You're listening to Only a Game.